listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Hey, and welcome to the front line for Monday, the 27th of October. Folks, we have burned up the month.
It went by fast.
And November is creeping up on us. We know it'll come soon. Well, this is the front line. We have a great interview, two wonderful guests today, and a powerful ministry inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You'll hear more about that. First, because I'm a traditionalist, I have to introduce my co-hosts.
I thought you were a Christian.
Well, I'm that too. Right. Hey, Christian traditionalist isn't a bad moniker, you know. I'm really that.
It's actually a moniker we need again.
Well, we actually. Do. Amen. And we're actually,
that's good point.
One of the thrusts of your ministry
is
to really bring people back to basics. So Ed Skiba, a venerable man of God.
Just means I'm old.
He always starts with the oldest first, so.
Well.
Good morning.
That would apply to me as well, Ed. You know,
I
just couldn't use that word for myself. I'm trying to be humble.
Yep.
But you have any words for us as we get started?
Beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen.
I was eating a bag of M&Ms yesterday. And I can't believe how far they've gone down. The quality control, half of them had W's on them. Yeah,
right. You know, I was going to say that I've never eaten a bag of M&Ms. I usually eat the contents. But that's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Fiber.
What did we get ourselves into?
No, this is fine.
Well,
we love the humor in the studio.
You know, God gave us a sense of humor because He knew the kind of world we'd be living in.
Yeah,
100%.
And you either laugh or you
we
cry.
Need to.
And so God gave us that gift.
Yeah. I agree.
And Ann Limhoko.
Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Is what I always
amen.
Say.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you always have a line, your tagline, Ann. I can't.
That is my tagline.
That's her tagline.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody's got to be serious.
Somebody's got to be serious around here, yes. And we do rejoice in that.
I got to balance it a little.
Yeah. Well, and you're doing a good job of that, I must say.
Thank you.
Amen.
Today, we have with us in the studio Massey and Carrie Campos. Am I pronouncing that?
Yeah,
I
took that. Exactly, yes.
And I have known Massey for a while.
Yes.
We've had various encounters. You were here one time on a Wednesday Live. I think you brought Todd Mozinga with
Pastor
you, Pastor
Todd, yep.
Todd with you.
Yep.
And our conversations have wonderfully centered on God's call on America to get our act together again.
Yes,
basically,
be active.
To get back
yeah, be
to
active.
God's call on this nation. God created this land for a specific purpose.
Amen.
And that purpose is well stated. You're going to get into that. Talk about the foundation, the God involved in the founding of America, and our ongoing mission, which hasn't changed, even though some people in the political realm are articulating different visions.
100%.
100%, but they're wrong, and we're going to talk about that from the biblical standpoint.
For sure.
But first, and also, the ministry is Self-Evident Ministries.
Yes.
Yep.
And I've known about it for a while. I just went on the website, though. Actually, Ann sent me the link, and I personally, I've always been impressed with how God is using you, and I'm meeting Carrie for the first time
today, exactly.
And that's a great privilege, because you got to know the spouse.
The better half.
The better half.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much you're appreciated, Massey, you know, a lot of the good things that come through us are because of our wives.
I've often spouses. Heard it said that the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like my wife.
Yeah.
I've heard it said Amen. Many times.
So,
and
so
and I agree.
Yeah, well, and I agree. Believe me, I've been married for 54 plus years, and I would totally agree with that.
Rocks
agree,
don't
yeah.
even live that long.
Yeah, right. And here my wife and I are still rocking along, so thank
Amen.
You for that
Amen.
Lead. Yeah, but let's get started. I'd love to hear your God stories, how you met the Lord.
Sure. I'd like for you to go first.
Oh, okay.
Because you have a cool story.
I was actually a senior in high school, so I grew up Lutheran, and it was more kind of like just not a super close relationship with God. God wasn't involved in every aspect of your life. So I went to what I would say a Pentecostal church when I got invited by a friend and started in the youth group there. And we had a new youth pastor come right at the time that I was starting. And this youth pastor, I have never, ever met another youth pastor like it. We would have Wednesday night youth service, Saturday night youth service, and Tuesday night youth intercession night.
Wow.
So he brought us all together and showed us how to seek after the things of God.
What books did he teach you?
I was going to get there. So, and then he would have youth Bible study where he was having us study Spurgeon, D.L. Moody,
Tozer,
A.W. Tozer.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And so he was like, you have to find out if God's real. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. You have to ask. And he taught us to seek the Lord.
Wow.
And that was really where my foundation was under his, you know, mentorship and leadership. And so then I was a senior in high school and I went all in. And that was September. And then by January, I was like, okay, I'm going to take this thing real. And I went all in, started asking.
Praise
and
God.
That's kind of how that started. And then we met in we were in a ministry and I began to, so it's one thing for me, what I say, it's one thing for me to like ask the Lord into my heart. And then I began to ask, show me the way of salvation because I want to know that I'm saved. Mm. I want to know. I just don't want to say I believe. And so I asked the Lord to show me the way of salvation. And oddly enough, I began to be extraordinarily convicted of sin. Now, I was quote unquote saved at the time. But I began to see what Paul said when he said, I saw my sin as exceedingly sinful. Mm. And I was I wasn't like a drug addict. I wasn't out there. I was a virgin when I got married. I wasn't out there doing horrible things. But it was like the small things like pride. Well, that's not small, but pride and things like that. And I began to go through a season of what I call licking the dirt. It was like in prayer.
Wow, yeah.
It was like a season of repentance. And that was kind of how that, and then we met and got married and...
Well, my story is nothing like that.
Yeah, follow that up.
Yeah, there you go. No, it almost similar. I grew up with Pastors for Parents. They still pastor in Texas as well. But like any, I think, PK that mm-hmm. rebels, you know, me and my brothers rebelled. My sister, too. So it was tricky for me because they would say one thing and do another. And everybody, I had the same argument. Liberals have, you know, you guys are all hypocrites. I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites. And I keep asking them all the time. I mean, I was just in Key West doing some ministry for 2 days last week for Fantasy Fest. We were out there preaching. And the number one rebuttal is, you know, hypocrites. And I'm like, have you ever seen fat people at a gym? They're like, yeah. I'm like, would you stop going to a gym because fat people go to the gym? No, you go to the gym for you, but then you may want to help that fat person maybe work their diet on. You know what I mean? So that's what happened to me. So when I was 16, I left the house because we were really broke. And I was very conscious. I had this thing that many of us deal with called the fear of man and the approval of man. Mm. And so I recognized it super late in, you know, super late in my 20s that I really dealt with this. But I struggled with this, like, I want people to approve me. Mm-hmm. And so when my parents were broke, I was like, I'm going to go start a business. You know, because I saw these people with nice trucks. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start a business. So I was 17, 18, started a detail company, was going to college, all these other things. And my buddy, ironically, I don't know why this was, but I felt depressed and down. I had no reason to be. And I went to my mother and I said, is this God thing for real? And she said, only God can tell you if he's real or not. Mm-hmm. I said, look, if he doesn't show up, I'm done. I'm gonna off myself, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she went to prayer. This is how I know mom's real. The prayer's real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From 10 o'clock till 2 in the morning, she would close her door and just pray for her boys.
Wow.
That's what she did. And so right away, I was introduced to, this is normal life for me. This is what mom does, right? 2 days later, someone called our house, which was a young woman, and my father and I have the same name. And they were like, hey, we're looking for Massey. And they were actually looking for my dad because they were going to start a ministry, some young people. And my dad said, oh, it's some young girls. It must be for you. Well, they invite me. It was the providence of God. I get
that
invited.
That is the hand of God.
Church service. And that night, this young 22-year-old punk kid literally showed me what the law of God was. Like how scripture says that the law shows me my sin, like you said in Romans 7, is exceeding sinful. So he walked me through the Ten Commandments and said, the law can't save you, man. Mm-mm. And I thought I was a Christian. I thought I knew it all. And I actually didn't. So then I got saved. And then it was probably 2 weeks after that. They were like, hey, do you want to go street preaching? And I'm like, well, what's that? They're like, we're going to stand on a milk crate. and we're going to tell people about Jesus. And I was like, what do I say? You know, I just got saved. And they were like, just, well, how did the Lord change you? And the first time I ever stood on a milk crate, seven kids got saved that night.
Wow.
Praise God.
And I knew it. I'm a blessed dude. Like, I knew that night. I'm not those people that are like, man, what is my calling? Like, I knew that night I'm going to do this the rest of my life, preaching. And so that's what we've been doing ever since. And we met each other through this ministry. And I was a lead singer of a Christian metal band, Easy Baptists. We were Christians. We were Christians. Don't worry. We were going around public schools sharing our testimonies. And that's where I cut my teeth, if you will, in ministry. Was that. Mm-hmm. And so meeting her was the joy of my life. It was, she made everything easy for me. So,
you know, I was wondering if a Christian heavy metal band got started, is that because they felt led?
I'm liking it. I was a singer and a bass player, and so imagine the surprise of my parents when I played their music for a long time and I'm playing Christian metal and they're like, what happened to our son? Is he in a cult or something?
I heard that people can't play guitar or play bass.
That is very true, actually. It's easier. It's just easier.
Ouch.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's kind of our story from darkness to light. We were redeemed, literally redeemed. But again, like her, the first introductions of my Christianity and discipleship were... get into Spurgeon, Tozer, Wesley Moody, Finney. Mm-hmm. Like, study the old guys. Mm-hmm. And then even go back, William Cowper, all these other guys. Yep. And you start reading the Book of Martyrs, the Fox Book of Martyrs. And you start thinking about the John Husses, the Martin Luthers. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reading the preface to the letter of Romans by Martin Luther when I'm 22.
Wow.
I doubt most Christians know what that is.
Mm-hmm. No, probably not.
And so I'm reading these things going, oh my gosh, there's a wealth of knowledge, tradition that we omit from the scriptures and we omit
and
from our teachings.
And the price paid for us to have what we have here in Christianity in America, but just Christianity around the world, the price that these reformers paid.
I'm reading God's Generals right now. So Wesley all that. They read
Martin
that,
Luther,
I think.
John Huss.
Yes, all those reformers. Yeah. Yeah. We're so grateful for
that. This Friday is Reformation Day.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
And I just went through the 95 Theses, and guys, there should be a 95 Theses written for our government, and the Republican and Democrat Party, because there's so much reformation that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing we're actually working on now, but just on how, and this will tie it up together, we felt strongly, if we were lied to that much, how many other kids are being lied to? That's what made us start self-evident. Was that if we were lied to and nobody told us the truth, and it was very hard for us to break into, or people to break into our world. I mean, imagine what it's like for these kids growing up now, because these teachings were lost, you know, and some of the stuff accepted in churches today, just the basic things, would have never been tolerated just 100 years ago.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, how we tolerate gossip and slander, how we tolerate even social media. I get social media, but boy, we depend on other people who are not our pastors to get sermons. And
that's
you can
true.
See all this polluted water coming in from, and everybody's confused, you know, instead of sticking to the word of the Lord, you know. And so that's kind of why we have such a passion for this, is to go out and reach people.
Yeah. But that brings us to asking you to talk about the ministry, you know, Self-Evident Ministries. What's the vision and mission, and how are you living it out? Now, we may hit a break point.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But like I told you earlier before we started, if you're on a roll, Holy Spirit roll, I won't stop you. And we'll wait till the next break. But
Go ahead. I love your explanation.
Yeah, so we both actually graduated in 1999.
Big ups.
You're aging yourself.
Yes,
that's good.
It's fine. It's part of the story of how we started. And shortly after, it was like early 2000, maybe three, we watched a video by David Barton, Wall Builders Ministry. His first video was called America's Godly Heritage. And it was like 45-minute DVD, just a brief overview. It might have been a VHS.
It was a VHS.
A brief overview on the founding of America, that these, it was in Christian principles. And so we watched this, and we're like, you know, just fresh out of high school, public high school, and we're like, wait, what? And it started us kind of on a journey. We did then from there, did a Constitution course from Institute on the Constitution. They're out in Maryland. And that transformed our lives. And it was at that moment that we were like, we have to give kids what no one ever told us. Because like back in our generation 99, or we were being lied to. But now you look at these kids and they're on full under attack. It went from being simply lied to now they're being targeted and they have no idea about the simple things of morality, virtue, which come from Christian principles,
self-government,
but have clearly no idea and are being taught the exact opposite about the history of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So that it started, self-evident started with that simple view in mind. We want to give kids what no one ever told us. And then mm-hmm. what happened is we realized it wasn't just kids that were being, you know, lied to. It mm-hmm. had been going on for generations.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these adults in churches had no idea about the founding of our nation.
Yeah, I was at a college, actually, and we had pastors show up to it. And I remember two pastors were like, hey, can you come and share this at our church? And I was like, doesn't everybody know this? It's in Scripture.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we've never heard this before.
Yeah.
And so that's what really was like, oh, my gosh. So we actually started going to kids and colleges and high schools first. That was our first
focus,
couple.
Yeah,
first kind
groups,
of focus was a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of were like, okay, God, wherever you open the door, we'll go to churches, community groups.
Beautiful. What year was it when Self-Evident was
2016.
Started?
So he had been working for Institute on the Constitution prior.
Oh.
From Maryland.
Yeah.
Then we just, it was in August that year that we felt like God was going to
Stop. You were in prayer.
I was.
I'm in my office at my house and I'm working on something for IOTC. And she comes in, she's crying. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, I was just in prayer. And the Lord said, I really know he said this. You're gonna use your preaching and your music, and we're gonna use this as a ministry. And I was like, okay. we say that like okay.
Praying wife.
Right.
By December.
Right, we're like, we'll slowly transition out of IOTC. We love IOTC, but it was more like we have to minister to the people. It's not just about you have to show them the love and the power of God for them to even understand. What
liberty.
Self-government is, what liberty is, why he gave it. So we wanted to transition and just preach the full gospel along with the biblical foundation of America. And so we're like, we'll transition out. We'll do a clutch of gas. And by December, Institute on the Constitution, unfortunately, 3 weeks before the end of the year, unfortunately, like, we just don't have any more money to pay you. I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this now.
Real fast, here's what happened. Is we start in 2016, the first tours in Ohio, we have negative $1.82 in our account. We're like broke. Because it was 3 weeks before the year end. We just had Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My kids sure enjoyed it, right? And so we have no money. And I was like, Lord, look, if I know you want me to go, and we're in prayer, and I'm out there mowing the lawn back and forth. Well, in October of 2015, I went to Massachusetts and preached. I met a gentleman there, and he said, I'd like to support your ministry. And I was like, sure, I'll send you all the information. He actually said, no, I don't want to support that. I want to support you. And I put that on the shelf. I didn't think anything of it. So in the middle of January, I get
He sends his first monthly donation.
Oh, wow.
And there's a note. It was $500. And there was a note in it that said, you won't retire on this, but I hope to do this to get you started.
Wow.
So I gave her $300 to get food. I took $200 to put gas in my tank, and that's how we started.
Yeah.
I didn't even
know. And 10 years later, God.
Which prior, can I just interject a little story about that Massachusetts trip? So he met this Pastor Paul on a missions trip in Guatemala. We had not started Self-Evident Ministry yet. He was still working for Institute on the Constitution. Paul's like, I want you to come to Massachusetts to speak at this men's conference that I'm doing. He gets to Massachusetts, and Pastor Paul's like, okay, this is Massachusetts, so be real easy on the God and government thing. And Massey's like, what do you mean? That's my message. He's like, I know, but it's Massachusetts. And he's like, okay. So he does his main message that he does, and he's ministering to all the guys. And afterwards, all these men came up to me. They're like, I had no idea. I had no idea. And then
the amount of repentance that broke out that day was awesome.
I had no idea about our country.
Awesome.
I had no idea. Yeah. And then Pastor Paul invited us back. So we would spend for like 3 years. We spent the month of July on Cape Cod, traveling around Cape Cod.
Not a bad
preaching.
Thing to be.
And every
going
time,
back to the old school.
Yeah, and every time we'd get to Pastor Paul's church, he's like, preach that God and government message. Do that God and government message. So it just goes to show that if you follow what God calls you to do, he'll open the doors,
and
he will minister to the people.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, and so and that's where we felt led, and it's only opened more doors and increased more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And our ministry is unique. We're not looking for the big spotlights and stage lights.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
Yeah.
We're going to the salt of the earth. We've been to every city that everybody forgets.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to those areas and wake them up.
Yeah.
Because I love the big stuff. I love, you know, God bless Charlie Kirk and all these people. Mm-hmm. I love those big stage stuff, but those little towns aren't going to those things. We need to go there and minister and bring the Holy Spirit to them. So that's really our focus is the salt of the earth people.
Yeah. What's your vision and mission? Why don't you explain
Before we go that far, we're about to go on a break.
Time.
So let's go ahead and do that. But before we go, we'll pursue that which you questioned. And then I'd like for us to move into in light of the ministry God's given you, what does the church really need to know today?
For sure.
Okay? Let's do that. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And we're back to the front line here on this wonderful Monday at the tail end of October. We have with us Massey and Carrie Campos.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Yeah, I'm earning points for that.
I love it. You are.
For pronunciation. Because my name's so hard to mean. Francoeur, if you look at it, you say, how do you pronounce it? Francoeur, whatever. I mean, I've been worse than that. But at any rate, Carrie and Massey have a wonderful needed ministry today, and thank God you're not alone in the field of bringing people awareness of what God is doing in America.
No.
God's creation of America and his plan, which he hasn't given up on. But now the church needs to get involved.
Yes, they do.
And so let's talk about that.
Let's do it.
And listen, be direct. I know you will be anyway, but your permission to be honest and direct.
Yeah.
And not to worry about ruffling feathers.
Yeah, so the vision is to go to every single American that we can see and teach them about what citizenship truly means. But also, too, if God gives us rights, they need to be Christians. You can't understand what you don't know, right?
Right.
And so a lot of our, you know, most of the founding wasn't, was Christian, and very few atheists. Benjamin Franklin talked about that. You didn't see a lot of atheism. However, those same atheists knew the last six of the Ten Commandments. You know, they weren't going to violate their neighbor, right?
Right.
So they at least adhered to
yeah.
the last six. Don't lie, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet. You know, and crime was actually punished back then. Whereas today in the church, you see crime actually empathized, pandered. And, and let me to explain.
Not covered up.
Very much covered up. We have to have more empathy for the criminal instead of actually punishing the criminal themselves for doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big problem. That's why we don't adhere to the Constitution anymore, because we just keep kind of putting the crime on a pedestal of empathy. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they just don't know what they're doing. We got to make sure we have empathy. Listen, criminals need to know what crime is and what a punishment is to stop the crime itself, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Christianity in my own life until God said, this is your sin.
Mm-hmm.
What is the punishment of sin?
Yeah.
Eternal separation and hell from God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what it is. But this guy comes into the courtroom, busts open the doors and says, I'm going to pay his fine if he accepts it. And I turn around and I go, really? All of it? And I'm, of course, grateful for that. But if the criminal doesn't see that, and Ecclesiastes actually talks about this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, evil therefore set in the hearts of men to do it. So the more we have pandered a crime, and this goes with anything, the church has done a terrible job of understanding what crime is and understanding of what biblical justice is, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, if we don't understand justice to stand against tyranny, to stand against crime, and if we're not the arbiters of that, then we lose ground. And everything is spiritual to me. Everything starts spiritually first before the natural.
Mm-hmm.
The government follows the church in whatever sphere. So if the church starts taking ground, it'll take time for the government to catch up. Right. But once the church keeps taking ground, the government will follow.
Right.
But since we've been kind of derelict of duty in a sense, right, for a long time.
And
I'll get to the hope in a minute. Derelict of duty meaning not understanding the scriptures. The government then said, well, if they're not going to do it, someone has to.
Yeah.
So then they started taking over welfare programs. They started taking over adoption centers. They started taking over
schools,
moral teachings. Yeah. They started taking over the rehabilitation centers. They started taking over consulting. What do you call it? Counseling. There you go.
Yeah.
And then they started telling us what identity is. They started telling us what it means. What love is. And it's crazy because Christ defined those words, love and hate. Mm-hmm. But the world is not telling the church what love is and what hate is. Mm-hmm. If you go out and talk to any liberal, they're like, well, you say you love people. Well, what is love? Mm-hmm. According to Scripture, 1 John 3:18.
They love don't realize truth. That the foundation of love is truth.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. And that we're supposed to do all things with truth and love. Mm-hmm. All things, according to Philippians, according to 1 Corinthians, right, 16. When you're looking at this, you're saying, okay, church, we totally have the power of Christ that constrains us, Paul said. It compels us to do the works of the gospel. And if Christ did all these things, and in the book of John, it says not all the books in the world could contain the miracles that Christ did. And if the Bible also says, greater work shall we do than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, then we have no excuse.
Yeah.
We have no reason that we're losing the culture war. Now, here's where I have hope. All those 90-year-old mamas for years that were praying, all those daddies that were praying. You remember, I grew up in a small town in Texas before we moved to Minnesota. That was when my dad was really smart. Then he moved to Minnesota. Then he got really winky. But like, I'm kidding. I love my daddy. But Lockhart, Texas, I grew up in, south of Boston.
Lockhart.
And we used to go to these small little country churches. And you know who was at the church the first? Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday we go to church. It was those four old ladies up there praying at the altar.
There you go.
They were the ones keeping the church alive. They were the ones bringing the fire of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. They were the ones interceding for the kids. They were the ones interceding for the families. That's what kept those churches together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So definitely. I thank God for those old ladies because I got saved because of them old ladies.
Amen, amen.
And so there is hope. There is a remnant that's not stopping. There is a remnant that's going forward. And it's no longer. And I'm telling you guys this. You guys can think I'm crazy. But this uber sensitive, charismatic. I'm a charismatic. Take it easy. Like, I'm a charismatic. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I'm all of them. Right?
Well, yeah,
not
I
Catholic.
Hear that.
But like, because I love the Bereans. I'm a Berean in the heart of Scripture. But I love the Spirit of God. But this hyper emotional sensitive stuff is gonna flee. Because kids are looking for the real. They're looking for groundedness.
Exactly.
They're looking for gravitas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Help me apply this now. I've been to a lot of charismatic churches. You know what they lack the most is discipleship programs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't have discipleship. And so we have all these kids that are getting saved right now.
Yeah.
Our mission this year, we're really focused on this, is discipleship. We're creating a new course for that. It's a 14-week course for discipleship, just understanding.
Right. Our first portion of this discipleship course is a whole 15-week session on self-government, teaching kids what self-government under the moral code of Scripture.
Yes.
And then teaching them the books we were taught to read. Like, why is it that the church, especially the modern church, they've never talked about, they don't really talk about Tozer, J.C. Ryle.
Yeah.
They don't talk about Thomas. They don't talk about Thomas Watson. You know, these were foundational. Like, why don't we talk about St. Ignatius and all these early church fathers?
Yeah.
These guys held the gospel so firm.
Mm-hmm.
And it teaches liberty. And I'm just going to go to it. When I started reading the history of America, which is what we were formed to do, I believe self-evident was formed for this, was to go preach the gospel, to go minister to the lost and the captive and the broken, to go see them healed, set free.
Amen.
That's what the Bible commands us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to read you a piece of a sermon that was preached to the Massachusetts Council, okay, in the middle of the Revolutionary War. This is just a piece of it. This is from Reverend Samuel Stillman. He said, "We are engaged in a most important contest." He preached this in the Congress of Massachusetts. This is his sermon. Yep. He said, "We are engaged in the most important contest, not for power, but freedom. When rulers turn tyrants and laws become chains, the people must rise, for the cause of liberty is the cause of God."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Come on.
That there alone, and I hear this a lot. I debate, and I say that loosely because I hate debates. I talk a lot about the foundation of government in Christ, and people are like, "No, we're supposed to be secular." The fact that you could even say something like that is the freedom from God for you to say something like that.
Yeah, amen, amen.
God gave you the liberty to say that because you can't say that in a Muslim country.
You're right.
No. You can't say that in India. If they tell you to shut up, you shut up. But here in this nation, you can say things like, I hate God, and not get killed for
it. Exactly right.
Now, you know what the church has the freedom to do? Go preach the gospel to the person that hates God.
Yes.
That's the beauty of freedom of speech.
Yes.
So the church, literally, all we did was abdicate the role of preaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just in Key West for 2 days. I talked about it earlier today. We got to go down there and witness. It was Fantasy Fest. And you know who was out there witnessing? You know how many groups were out there witnessing?
Mm. No.
Just none? You guys?
None.
None.
Mm. We didn't see anybody. And then a group joined us because they stayed the whole week. So we went a little earlier than they did. And I'm thinking to myself, like, the only reason we lose ground is because we don't take it.
Yeah. We abdicate that role.
I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about going out in the things of God.
Right. Exactly.
No, the revolution was a last resort. Mm-hmm. That wasn't something the founders wanted. They weren't out there preaching in the streets, we need to take over revolutionary style. They were trying to appeal to the king to get their rights back.
Yes.
Listen, you're thinking you're above God. That was the first 27 rules of the Declaration.
Yeah.
He thinks he's above God,
and
he's not. And then once the king said, you know what, we're going to hang them all. They're like, well, what else are we going to do? We got to fight for our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to defend our rights.
Yes.
Every right set forth in the Declaration was preached at the American pulpit before.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
And there were many pulpits were not for revolution. They were for, you got to submit to the king, Romans 13.
I know.
But a lot of those preachers ended up turning around and being a part of our government.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Those same ministers that were against us
they
fighting
bore
revolution
arms.
Ended up coming on and saying, you know what, we need to help.
Yeah.
You're right.
They
we
bore
were
arms.
Wrong.
Tell the story about the Muhlenberg brothers.
Real fast, Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg was the brother of John Muhlenberg.
Yeah.
I love this story. John Muhlenberg, I think you guys probably know this, but for those who don't, John Muhlenberg was up there preaching out of Ecclesiastes. He says, there's a time for peace and there's a time for war.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I say now it's a time for war, and he rips off his clerical robe and it reveals the garb of a general, a continental army. And he leads like some 300 men into battle. He's one of Washington's right-hand men, becomes a two-star general, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother... raised in the same home, same teachings, same Lutheran, same everything, was like, oh my gosh, John, you are a heretic. How dare you preach this in your churches?
Wow.
We need to submit to the king. And he's like, Frederick, the cause of liberty is the cause of God. What are you talking about? He said, Romans 13. He said, I've read Romans 13. Romans 13 doesn't allow me to submit to ungodly authority. It says submit authorities that are ministers of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so Frederick's like, no, I can't do that. Well, Frederick goes away for a while. His church gets burned in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes, he writes in his journal, I must do something. Do you know that Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg ended up siding with the Americans? And then he was the one, there's in the First Amendment, the First Amendment draft, which is the freedom of speech, press, religion, all that stuff. There's two signatures on the bottom of that draft. It's John Adams and Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg.
Really?
The pastor was against it.
Yeah, he was first against it. Ends up signing the draft of the Declaration, Bill of Rights.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's like, that's the kind of stuff that don't feel like your pastors are too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
I get the sentiment of if your pastor's not preaching, leave the church. However, there are pastors who are willing to turn. They just don't know.
Yeah, they're ignorant.
Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
They're ignorant.
I think it's bad to tell everybody, don't go to your church anymore. Our pastor, Pastor Todd will tell you,
Revive.
He knew nothing of this stuff. And we show up.
You guys have brought it to Revive.
Yeah,
I know.
We ended up bringing it to him.
Yeah.
And he's the one
Praise
who's like,
God.
I had no idea that God was at the founding of America. I didn't know they prayed and had regular fasting meetings. I didn't know Ben Franklin called for intercession at the Constitutional Convention.
Yes.
And just that little bit of knowledge, look where he's at now. I mean, he's out there preaching at events that are quote-unquote political. He's standing against the 501c3 stuff. Our church is rocking, and that pastor's the man, and he's like a father figure to me. That guy is a spiritual giant, and he's standing. And all it took was someone to bring them knowledge.
Yeah.
So don't discount it. Amen. Just bring them the knowledge.
Right.
And that's what we're willing to offer and provide in a simple way.
And I think today, especially right now, as listeners are receiving this message, and hopefully all of you have begun to feel an exciting of passion within you because this is true. And when if that's happening to you, that's from the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And when that spirit is exciting passion in you, there's got to be a do something response to it.
That's right.
Not just, oh, I'm excited, and then you're going to go off and do something else, like make lunch, which you probably want to anyway. But the point is, no, this is the beginning for you of a life-changing moment that God is in because he wants you out there doing whatever he wants you to do and what he will empower you to do.
Amen. Amen.
Now, and so that's true. You may be wondering about that, but that is absolutely true. In fact, Scripture speaks to that Old and New Testament, how God moves to impassion people to serve him in a very particular way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're on the subject of the church, and I've said this before in other programs, but I'm going to say it again, and probably talk about ruffling feathers, but I will say I was ordained in a mainline Christian denomination in 1985. My seminal experience was 82 to 85, and I went up there saved. I was saved in 1976. I met the Lord then, November 3rd. And so I had grown in my faith, and I really heard God say, I want you to be ordained in this particular church. And my first experience in seminary was like I had... You hear the Valley of the Shadow of Death? You hear it talking about that?
Yeah.
I said, Lord, you walked me into the Valley of the Shadow, because it was the seminary staff, I couldn't detect any spiritual people there.
Mm.
It was just devoted to academia. It was all academic. And even there's a lot of ordained people on the staff as instructors. But it became clear, I was asking the Lord, what's going on here? And so in the 3 years I was in seminary, the Lord showed me that, that what we now call the liberal progressive ideology had come in through academia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at some point in the past that I can't chart back to in the 50s or 60s, mm-hmm. my denomination or my former denomination, I'm not with them anymore, had allowed through compromising the gospel, compromising the word of God, and had allowed these thoughts, these ideologies, to begin to come in and be accepted and tolerated. And because of all of that, and we know the devil is involved in it, so I'll just mention him, that the leadership in seminaries, not just my denomination, but pretty much every mainline denomination, slowly became tainted. Mm-hmm. With this desire to and fear of the truth. And so the curriculum shifted. And now I haven't gone to every mainline seminary, but I've talked to many who've gone to mainline seminaries. So this is not just my testimony. But the seminaries were teaching their people to doubt the word of God, what we call biblical criticism, which sounds really wonderful and academic, and but it ends up, you begin with the point that the Bible cannot be trusted.
Yep.
That's the bottom line.
That's it. That's it.
Amen.
The
foundation.
And then from that, every other tenet of Christianity is put under the microscope, and people find ways of disbelieving. So what happens when you graduate in 3 years if you're not saved? There's like four of us that were saved in a class of 100.
Wow.
Well, these people go out believing what they were taught.
Yeah.
And that shapes and forms their ministry, but they're leaders. What do leaders do? They influence the people they're sent to lead. So I'm saying all this to say, when we start diagnosing the problem in the church, by and large, now if you're a pastor and this is not you, God bless you.
Amen. Yeah,
thank you
Amen.
For standing. Thank you for
thank
doing
you
that.
For standing and help your peers, our brothers
thank
and sisters
to do
that.
Thank you for being a shepherd. Thank you for being a true watchman.
Yes.
Exactly.
Amen.
Right.
But if you are in a church, if you're beginning to become aware that your pastor is not moving in the direction of pure discipleship, is not leading the church to embrace what God is doing in general, not to mention in America in specific, then as Massey brought up earlier, pray. Don't leave before you pray and ask, lift up your pastors and ask God to guide them to the truth, because the church has to be changing first.
Yeah, your sentiment of college and university and seminary, was held by many prominent preachers in the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. Super, super. And if you want to say something to this, you can. Finney was big on how,
yeah.
one, we're turning out hirelings, not yeah. ministers of the gospel. Two, he goes, he basically said, if we're teaching people to stay out of conflict, they're going to be the most ridiculous men on earth, which is what we've done. We've yeah. taught them. Don't talk about that because that's conflict. It's unneeded conflict. Yeah. You know what's crazy is people say, and I've heard this a lot from even prominent people I respect, government is not in scripture. We don't talk about those things because that's not what God wants. But it's so crazy because neither is the movie industry, mm-hmm. neither is sports.
Yeah.
But we're cool if they're in the Olympics praising God. That's we're cool true. If yeah, they're yeah. making movies good about point. Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're that's cool a very if good we're point. If we're in schools kind of doing what we need to do. But when it comes to government, oh, it's too controversial.
Too controversial.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and speaking of controversy, we're going to continue to
let's go.
But we're going to take a break first. This break's about 4 minutes, and after the break, when we come back, you'll be invited to make a call if you want to ask a question of Massey or Carey or make a comment. That number will be 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And we'll be back again. Enjoy the music, by the way. It's Passion is the group, and the title is Freedom Song.
Come in power.
Wow, wow, welcome back. Yeah, and that was Freedom Song by Passion. Thank God for that. We're talking about freedom today. God is the ultimate source of all real freedom.
Amen.
And that's something we all need to know in America. It should be known across all over the world, but we live here, so we're going to start here. Let's get pick up the thread that we were at before the break. Carrie, will you want to jump right in there? And
what was the thread?
Sorry. Here's what we want to do. We were talking about, we want people to know more about the self-evident ministries. Yeah,
yeah. The book.
And how do people engage with your ministry? What do you do in the ministry? How do you go out? What do you teach? Yeah. Where do you go?
Yeah. So I'll just tackle kind of like what we do and what we offer. We generally go, like I said earlier, wherever God opens the door, we do a lot of homeschool conventions. We speak at a lot of churches. Generally, when we go into churches, it's generally a Sunday morning mass. We'll do a 45-minute message. And we often go back to these churches multiple times because there is so much information. Regarding our history and regarding our government and what it should look like today and why it's important to know the biblical history of America. But he'll do like a 45-minute, generally just the base overview of the founders' view of law and government and how they took what they established from biblical principles and go in depth in their writings and how they viewed freedom and liberty. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is we offer churches a 2.5 to 3 day, sometimes a 1 day conference. We call it our Truth to Power conference. Like, we're headed back to Ohio, fun facts, to a Mennonite church.
Awesome.
I know.
Was it 90% of that congregation was former Amish?
Former Amish,
And,
it was awesome.
Right, so we were there in August, and the Holy Spirit just came, and, you know, it's these people are super conservative, so to watch the Holy Spirit and Lord minister to them, it's there's an awkwardness, but then just a beautiful innocence about it.
So real fast, I'm there, I'm preaching real fast, and I, in the middle of the whole thing, I'm like, I got to stop right now. Who's not sure of their salvation? And of course, there's no hands that go up. And I'm like, if one of you starts, every one of you will go. And it was hand. And they were all ministered to, that you can know of a surety that Christ has saved you. And I cannot tell you. Of course, it's silent, but the Holy Spirit's moving. I'm speaking into people, praying for people. And then all of a sudden afterwards is when people came up like, hey, I'm so grateful. I didn't know. And then the pastor got like countless texts and emails, like
for weeks and weeks later.
Can we get them back? Because we didn't,
God.
The Spirit of God, they didn't know it. They just didn't know God moves and God is still available and God is still real.
And he speaks.
And he speaks to them. And so
so that's we're headed back. Part. We have the Truth to Power conference, which we're doing at their church. It's like a, like I said, it's a 2.5 day. You can break it down into a 1 day thing. And it's in a deep dive into the history of our nation. I do a message on prayer and what prayer looked like, because people don't understand too. Like, we have this fight, a current fight. Right now, conservative values, they're fighting back. But what I always am brokenhearted about is that there is this understanding that our founders had of prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was government-issued days of prayer and fasting for our nation.
Yep.
And the current conservative fight lacks that. Mm-hmm. They lack the crying out to God to move on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And so I do a message on prayer. Mike Sonneveld, our friend in ministry, he does a message on masculinity and why it's important to preserve that for a healthy, thriving culture.
Yes.
So we offer that for the Truth to Power conference. And we do youth groups where Massey takes it and makes it palatable for youth. We're actually speaking at an elementary school coming up. And so we just, like I said, go wherever Lord opens the door. And so to find out more information about getting us, and you can go to our website at theselfevidenttruth.com. I'm sorry, it's a long one. Theselfevidenttruth.com. And you can contact us through our website there. But then you can also see Massey just released a book in this past January called Church Liberated. And it is really to empower the Christian and the church body on their role in protecting and establishing freedom.
Yeah, and basically it goes through all the history of how churches were involved in the founding of America, and that same power, that same ability, the same spirit's available today.
Right.
So the book was written in that guard. It goes through all this history, 700 years of history, and it's a bathroom book, okay? I wrote the chapter super short because I'm a simple guy. You know what I mean? So I wanted it to be simple and palpable for the pastor, for the Christian. Right. It's deep enough to be good for a pastor in theology, and it's simple enough for the average person to just read and go, okay, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right,
this
so that book is Church Liberty. That is on our website. We also have a Constitution course that you can access through our site.
I wish I could talk about what's coming up.
No, we're redoing some courses and adding
maybe
more courses.
Maybe at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well, we have you back on.
There's some cool things.
Yeah, we have what we call an apologetics course, which is a simple 5-session course. You can access all that through our website, theselfevidenttruth.com.
Yeah, that one's called Government versus God. What is God's role? What is government's role? And I did five different lectures that were current topics, still our current topics, and how to address it biblically and what's God's role and government's role. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of stuff. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So if somebody buys your course, what do they get? Like videos and workbooks?
So it's an online course.
Okay.
So will when you go through our website, you access it, will bring you to a site called Teachable, which is a course hub for multiple
organizations.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll see it. It's a 15-session course. It's videos of Massey and Mike teaching. You print out the PDFs from your account online.
Got it.
And both courses are like that. So you have the Constitution course and our Government versus God. Both are on the same platform, the same format.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. So, and it's all principle. And again, makes so much sense to have it. And then, two, they can just reach out to us on our social medias.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of videos. I'm not a mark like that. I don't like doing that. Yeah. But when they do, they hit, and people really do respond well to them. And so keep looking out for more videos. I'm doing some this week on the influx of Islam and Muslims. Mm-hmm. I'm doing one on Christian nationalism. That one's going to be a good one. I'm sick of people calling us Christian nationalists. We're just patriots.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
And they're trying to label us to make us extremists. Mm-hmm. And don't take the bait. I know some prominent Christian authors are like, we should do that. Yes, we're nationalists. No, we're patriots. Mm-hmm. We're just Christian patriots. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing one on that. We're doing one on immigration. You know, a lot of Christians will say, well, we're supposed to treat the stranger with compassion. True. That's what the Lord said to do. But he also said they must abide by the laws of God and the land.
Amen.
So there's a whole different dichotomy that we're not talking about. And Trump looks like a tyrant right now when it's the lawlessness that's been along for years. Mm-hmm. He comes in and tries to uphold the law, and he looks like a tyrant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And so we need to talk about that. We need to be honest. Oh, the death penalty. I'm doing one on the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
How the death penalty is not wrong when it's evil committed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's Old Testament. I don't like it for today. I can't trust a judge these days to save my life.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it, so I probably wouldn't institute it today, but it is biblical to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
very
so
much
just,
so.
Just different things like that.
Do you guys still have the podcast, too?
No, we it's kind of hitting miss for us. We took it down because it was just so much time.
Okay.
And we were traveling a lot more. I mean, ever since I stepped down from Revive in September of last year as their associate pastor.
Just to go full time.
Just to go full time.
Praise God you can.
Yeah.
Man, it was,
there's a demand for that.
We were on the road for 2 months straight almost.
Wow.
And they bring their boys every month, too, which I think is great.
Yeah, we have their boys. Yeah.
I had to leave the studio for a minute or two, and I don't know if you talked about the book.
We did.
You did? Okay.
I got a copy for you too, man.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
I'll get you a couple copies.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And maybe we can, on another program, we can inspire people to call and maybe send them a copy as first.
Please do. Absolutely. Please do. You can use them as coasters for your table. It's great. It's great.
Well, maybe the cover, but the content you really want to read. Yes. You really want to read. I'm looking at the clock here, and the sad thing about clocks, we live in linear time. That was God's plan. I'm okay with that.
Amen.
But it means, you know, that things start and then they end, and we're we're maybe 7 minutes from having to shift over to the next program. So in that time, what hasn't been said yet that you really want to talk about?
I think, what do you got?
I was going to say, I think
I like
with what with what Self-Evident does, you know, we talked a little bit about controversy before. And what I see when we talk in regards to liberty and freedom and constitutional understanding is that the people who do a deep dive into the Constitution, the writings of our founders, the view that the founders had, those people are controversial to our mainstream conservatives today.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And we actually went last week and watched the movie, the new movie, I think it's from Angel Studios, Truth and Treason.
I still have to watch that.
You guys,
so you recommend it?
You have to go watch
this movie.
What was the name of it?
It's actually at the theater.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they extended it, I saw, for another week.
Yeah, a 16-year-old boy who essentially...
17.
Yeah, he was... Well, he started when he was 16 and was killed when he was 17.
Oh.
He began to speak out against the Nazi regime and do writings. And it's just a powerful... But what ministered to me most about that movie is that you have to stand for truth.
Yeah.
Even if it's unpopular. So a lot of times... when you're a Christian and you've done the deep dive into the Bible, you've done a deep dive into the Constitution, you've done a deep dive into the history of our nation, it looks, what you speak and how you stand for freedom looks atrocious.
Countercultural.
Countercultural to mainstream Republicans.
And, yes.
And, you know, you see people dog on Thomas Massey and Rand Paul, but they're the only ones talking about the Constitution and what it's meant for and how it's supposed to be played out. And so when we go back to controversy, I just, I want to encourage people to shut the mainstream conservative off and do study for yourself on what self-government and liberty and Constitution and what it all means and how it's supposed to look.
Yeah.
I think, too, to round that out, I think with this movie, the Truth and Treason, I'm only going to point out one thing. There's a lot of discouragement that happens when you're talking like this because you won't know every argument. You'll have a bunch of people who are either liberal or Republican or two-faced Republicans that'll come out and know more facts than you. But they'll know more facts than you. They'll know more things than you. So they'll ask you questions that you don't have an answer to. Don't get discouraged. What I love about this movie is there's a scene in there where he's standing before the judge to either basically he's going to be on death row or not. And the judge says, did you honestly think, you little punk kid, he's basically saying, that you could change something, like someone's going to listen to you? He goes, if that's not true, why am I standing here before you?
Powerful.
That statement, I'm crying. I'm like, that is exactly because you're being shot at proves you're effective. It's the fact that they're commenting and they're against you, it proves you're doing something. You're making an impact. And I believe it wasn't Finney, I think it was Hudson Taylor. When I think it was Taylor, but they said, you know, never leave people the same when you preach to them. If they're mad, their conscience is pricked by the Holy Spirit. They're angry. He said, if they're glad, you've encouraged them in their faith. If they're sad, they're convicted by the Holy Ghost. So we have three positions to leave people in. Never leave them the same. Never leave them the same. We've got a job to do. Finney was, and I'm not a Finney guy, but like Finney was right. If there's a decay in our country, it's the pulpit's lack of preaching and standing is the responsibility. But let's go beyond that. If our pastors won't, there's no excuse for us. We should.
Amen.
That's true. That's
we have a job to do.
That's right.
And if this conversation today is, and you're a believer, and any part of this conversation has caused you to be afraid, then you know that's not from God. And what I would then say to you, and I would say this prayerfully and lovingly, is you're misaligned. You're out of alignment with God. You're out of alignment with the plans of the Savior you claim is your Savior. Because what does the Bible say? Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Paul wrote that. It's true. Who is perfect love but Jesus? And if you're fearful because of anything you've heard today, then get yourself in line with your Savior. Get on your knees because that's where you need to start.
Yeah, he gives you the boldness. If you look at the disciples real fast, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just so that they could speak in tongues and do the crazy stuff and jump over pews. I've been in churches and I love that. That's cool. Do your thing. Like, go laugh on the floor. But you know what? The first thing Acts says, they were given boldness to preach the gospel.
Amen. Yes.
That's
yes.
what the Holy Spirit does. It gives you boldness. Amen. If you need that, ask the Holy Spirit. He wants to give it to you. And it's as simple as just reaching out to your neighbor and telling him, do you know that God loves you and he's got a plan? Now, it may not be a great plan. It may be a crazy plan, but it's a plan. And he wants to save your soul.
Yes.
And that's they need it. They need Christ. They're dying. And
absolutely.
If you know Jesus, he wants you to tell somebody that doesn't know
him. Yes.
Come on.
What saved
today?
You? How can you not talk about the thing that loved you?
Yeah.
Amen.
You got to talk about it.
This is a timely message.
Amen.
I pastor a small congregation of 55 and over people.
Indian
I've got people come to me after the service and say, I've been in church 40 years. I never heard that before.
No.
Because I'm preaching scripture.
Amen.
Right from the word. And it's amazing how many people out there in the mainline church that need to hear what you've got to say.
Well, I'll say this, sir.
That need to understand.
It's the shoulders of you guys that we're standing on now, so you can say before God, Lord, we've done what we needed, and the young bucks are coming.
Amen.
And they're taking it. I'm going to start crying, man.
Hey,
like, we're coming.
Yeah.
We're going to do it, man. And we don't have a choice but to stand anymore. We don't have the choice to sit back.
Amen.
That's right.
We don't.
That's right.
Amen.
So
I've been worried
you.
About that. I'm 82 years old.
Don't worry.
I've been worried about who's going to pick up after I go.
Here we are.
And
we're doing it, sir.
Good, it's happening.
Good,
it is. It's working.
Yep.
The kids are getting it, man. And it's all y'all's prayers,
God,
and it's
get
your
to
sowing.
Live and see this.
And you know what? I pray, like William Wilberforce, that you get to see it with your eyes, the fruit of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'll see it.
Amen.
It may not be here.
Well, right. You'll get a viewing room in the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
you'll be hearing, you'll be knowing.
Amen.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm just going to have to say to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. I know and I trust God has touched many of you, and your lives won't be the same. Praise God. Massey and Carrie, thanks for being here today. I do believe you're going to be back with us.
Yeah.
And there's more to talk about. We only scratched the surface.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the three-hour thing.
We'll do that privately.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just something God put on my heart. Anyway,
yes. Okay, sorry.
It's okay. Y'all be blessed.
Stay tuned.
And we'll see you next week.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.